Welcome to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Coming up, an inside look at the business of Las Vegas. Stay tuned for interviews with the movers and shakers at the top and on the way up. Plus, Las Vegas sports, entertainment, restaurants, weather, and more. This is the Vegas Business Report, because there's no business like Vegas business. Now, here's Jeff Nathanson and JJ Snyder.
And welcome to an all-new edition of the Vegas Business Report. I'm JJ Snyder here with Jeff Nathanson. It's 11:07. We're in a new location today, pretty exciting, and it's time to get started.
Yeah, we are recording this episode from the NBA Summer League right here at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas. It's really special. They have so many NBA games here. It's a summer league. It's training for players, for rookies, for free agents looking for contracts, and we are thrilled to be here, courtesy of the NBA Summer League team, Albert Hall, Jackson Weber, Kyle Conway, Ashton Kutcher, and their whole team. Great hospitality here. So we're excited, JJ, to be here. And there's so much to talk about here. I kind of feel a little bit of a sports vibe because of our first guest.
Oh, my gosh. Exciting first guest. And we're going to dive into sports memorabilia today. A perfect topic to be within the Thomas & Mack today.
That's right.
Talking basketball, of course, but talking sports memorabilia. Have you collected anything in your life?
I collected things as a kid. Baseball cards, yep. Football cards, all kinds of different things. I have some old programs from some different things. They all have different meanings to different people, right?
True.
And I was actually going through some of my baseball cards just the other day to put them in the hard plastic to protect them a little bit more. I should have done that with my 1966 Sandy Koufax, but at that time, I was way too young to understand that. So sports trading cards, it's a big deal.
As are jerseys. I've always been a little partial to a jersey. I'm fascinated by how players pick their numbers. It's just something I think there's usually some kind of personal connection.
Great point.
And I, you know, being a female sports watcher, I really enjoy the color schemes of the uniforms throughout, all the different leagues.
Whatever
so
works.
I will judge a team by their color scheme. I'm sorry.
It works.
It's how I roll.
Well, we're thrilled to be here, JJ, and we're going to talk with Howard Dinneroff in just a minute.
Wow.
He is the executive director of the Hall of Excellence right here in Vegas, located at Fontainebleau. They have some amazing things. There's a sports museum. We'll get Howard to go in just a second. And then later on, we're going to talk a little Hollywood 2.0.
Okay.
That's going to be good, too. We're going to talk with Kim Spurgeon from Film Nevada, and we're going to find out about Las Vegas and Reno as destinations. There's a show on now that you brought up a couple of weeks back.
I did. Lucky. In fact, it just premiered on Apple TV just the week before last, and very exciting. It shot almost exclusively here in Nevada. Nevada's very welcoming to the film community. Hollywood is... You know, I don't know. I think a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to find out. I'm looking forward to that interview. One quick reminder before we get started, this portion of the show is being brought to you by DBV Solutions. They help businesses adapt, innovate, and thrive. Visit www.dbvsolutions.com for more. Let's kick this off and welcome our first guest. He is a really an interesting guy when it comes to sports media executive for a long time, currently the director of the Hall of Excellence at Fontainebleau. Howard Dinneroff has been around sports his entire life.
Wow.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York City and collecting baseball cards and everything else, just like you mentioned. And yes, mine are in a shoebox somewhere with tattered corners and everything else. Never thought it would become a big business, but obviously it has over the years. And always wanted to find a career in sports because I figured it was the best way to get to go to as many games as possible for free.
That's a good way to go.
It paid off for you,
yes,
didn't it?
It did, yes. Before I worked in the museum, it did. And now I still get to continue my career with this amazing museum here in Las Vegas.
Well, I would imagine you're pretty connected with this Hall of Excellence. So it's a permanent fixture now at the Fontainebleau. People are going to see the most incredible items in here. Tom Brady was involved. Jim and Fran Gray as well curated many of the items inside. Tell us what it's like to walk inside.
So it's over 300 artifacts from all different sports. And Jim and Tom put the museum together in partnership with the Fontainebleau Hotel. We opened just over a year ago. And, you know, there's something in there for everyone. There's baseball, basketball, football, boxing, soccer, tennis, golf, Olympics, you name it. We have something. So this way, anybody who comes in should find something that interests him. Maybe there's something that doesn't, but that's okay. Unlike if you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame, we have something for every sports fan. And then we also have a trophy room, which features trophies from all different sports, men's and women's, team and individual. And it's just, it's such a great venue if you like sports. And the best part about it, not only do you get to see the items in the display cases, but there's an audio and a video tour that's pretty robust. Morgan Freeman narrates it along with Jim Nance and Marv Albert and Bob Costas and other great Hall of Fame announcers that are well known in their individual sports. So it's really immersive for anybody from, you know, the age of 8 all the way up to 80.
We're talking with Howard Dinneroff right now here from the NBA Summer League location at the Thomas & Mack, and we're talking about the Hall of Excellence at the Fountain Blue. I read it was something online, I think it was Facebook or something, where I saw somebody typing in something saying, I'm going to Vegas, what should I do? And somebody else wrote back, check out the sports museum. It wasn't specific.
It wasn't me, but I'm glad whoever it was. Yes.
But how did this, because this is going to become a destination, and I know you mentioned Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback probably that ever lived, right? His rings.
Not probably.
Probably, for sure. Probably. His rings are on display there.
Yes, so all seven of his Super Bowl rings are there.
How do you get that type of stuff into Vegas, into a museum at Fountain Blue?
So because Tom was involved in the creation of the museum, that one is, you know, that case with the seven rings is not like anything else we have in there. Tom's stuff is, you know, part of the fabric of the museum and part of the origin of the museum with Jim when they were creating it. But all the other artifacts that are in there are on loan to us, unlike a Hall of Fame that you go to where the players, the athletes, or coaches donate things there. Everything is loaned to us there. And so it gives us the ability to rotate items in and out as needed. And if an athlete wants their items back, okay, it's theirs. They can have it and whatever it is. But we're kind of just, if you would, renting it for a while, right? And
yeah.
So people can see how great it is. And so, you know, from everything from Muhammad Ali to Simone Biles to Michael Phelps to the greatest basketball players of all time to Babe Ruth to Shohei Ohtani, you name it, Messi, Ronaldo. We have, you know, with the World Cup going on, you know, this time this summer, it's, you know, it's been a big attraction for everybody, even more so than normal for that display case.
I mean, it's very fascinating. So you can rotate these items, and it also gives the athletes kind of a chance to tell their story a little bit, right? You mentioned the self-guided tour. I know I was very impressed. You have Morgan Freeman doing the voiceover. It is kind of a modern take on a museum that people, you actually kind of scan the item, and then you are able to hear the voiceover.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
We give everybody an audio device. You scan,
yeah,
much like you would on your cell phone. But it's automatic recognition software. So you just hold it over the artifact, and it automatically pops up with an audio story. And then not only do you get to hear the story narrated about that particular item and that particular athlete and the significance of that artifact, but you also will get to see video of them in that moment using it. So you see the authenticity of the artifact as well, and the moment in time from which it was used. Because authenticity is so important for any memorabilia, but especially a museum called the Hall of Excellence.
I want to take a quick break, but I want to tease that when we come back, hopefully Howard is going to share with us some of the top things that are there. We talked about Tom Brady's rings. There's a lot of other stuff there when you kind of go through it. It's right at Fountain Blue, by the way. It's very accessible, very easy to get to.
It's a gorgeous room.
Yeah.
We're going to tease, too. I think he might tell us something he hasn't told anyone else ever before.
Well, let's see.
About the Hall of Excellence.
Let's see. We'll take a time out. You are listening and watching the Vegas Business Report with J.J. Schneider. I'm Jeff Nathanson. We'll take a time out. And when we come back, more with Howard Dinneroff on the Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
And we are back, JJ, on the Vegas Business Report. Interesting conversation about sports memorabilia. Howard Dinneroff is here from the Fountain Blue Hall of Excellence there. Before the break, Howard, we were talking a little bit about some of the, use the word artifacts, because you're a professional. There's a lot of stuff in there, sports,
yes,
memorabilia, all kinds of stuff. Tell me a couple of things that people that are traveling to Las Vegas or people that live in Las Vegas that are huge sports fans, what should they be looking for there?
Well, depending on, you know, what age group you're in, one of the beauties of the museum is it has something for all ages. We had a three-generation family come in a couple months ago from the Denver area, where the grandfather was in his early 80s and the grandson was just about 18 years old, and the father was somewhere in the middle. And the grandfather went over to the baseball case and was showing him the Willie, showing this family the Willie Mays item we have, and the Mickey Mantle item, because, and the Hank Aaron item, because he saw them in the first game he ever went to as a child in New York City. And then the father, the middle generation, went and saw the John Elway football because he grew up in Denver at that point. The grandfather had moved there.
That
and
was
said,
a good fashion era, by the way, and, I'll just say, in
so,
football.
Yes, and so he was telling his son about his first game was watching John Elway, and then the grandson only cared about Shohei Ohtani and Steph Curry and all the current item, you know, current players. And so that shows you kind of what's there, where something will resonate. You mentioned that when you collected, certain things have different meanings because you either interacted with that athlete or you were at a game where they did something, or you remember watching it on television or hearing it on the radio. So what I love being in the museum is that every day and every visitor that comes in wants to know something different. And so we are storytellers. And I worked for many years prior to this in the media business and broadcasting and as a producer. And so I was a storyteller there. The only difference is now we're not live. I'm not live on the air telling it with a broadcast. So I'm you know, maybe I'm telling the same stories a little over and over again. But there's so many things in there that, like I said, every day is a different story. And the World Cup now is big because it's there, but you know, basketball is always big, and I think some people are shocked at the size of some of the trophies we have in there, and they like that, or they just question, are these really Tom's rings, you know, what, how'd you get those, or is this really Jackie Robinson's bat from the year he broke the color barrier? Yes. And things of
wow.
that nature. And so, and we have a football signed by all the Green Bay Packers from Super Bowl I. And, you know, yeah, Super Bowl I. That's the first one. And so, you know, there's something there, like I said, and it just, I love the fact that everybody walks away from it enjoying something else. That's the best part of it. And to me, that's the mark of a good museum in any, you know, genre, whether it's art, whether it's history, whether it's, you know, dinosaurs or something, it doesn't matter.
Well, Howard, we sure appreciate you broadcasting with us today. This is like a big treat for us, honestly. And what you just described, it got me kind of feeling a little emotionally connected
to
my dad.
You got the feels.
I did, because my dad grew up in Chicago, okay. and he played baseball in college. And so I grew up hearing about these players from his generation. And when I think of those players and I think of Chicago, I actually get emotional about my dad. Right. So that's what people are experiencing.
So your dad would like the fact that we have Walter Payton's helmet and headband from the day he broke the NFL rushing record and back in 1984. So that's displayed in there. And
cool.
And not only do we get artifacts from athletes, but we have a lot of great partners. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has loaned us some items. The FIFA Hall of Fame has loaned us some items. And so we have a great partnership with them so that we can display some of these items. And again, they'll take them back and we'll rotate out with some other artifacts along the way so that it keeps it fresh and people can come back even if they visited the museum before.
Hmm. Jeff, you know, I kind of hinted that maybe Howard would share a secret with us.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I could ask you. So I imagine that you have been able to actually touch some of those Super
yes.
Bowl rings.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
They're rather
and
large.
I'm sorry, there's
they're
seven
too big
of them?
For my hand. There's seven
yes.
of them, yes.
I know. They make them so gigantic. But yes. I guess if you get to the Super Bowl, you better have a big
But that's
ring.
Another thing about the museum. You can kind of see the evolution of championship rings because we have some championship rings from years ago where they look like your high school or your college class ring. And now they're these big monstrosities. So Tom's seventh ring has 319 diamonds in it alone.
Would you like that?
And that's because the final score of Super Bowl 55 was 31-9. So that's why there's 319 diamonds. But we have a Las Vegas Aces ring, the one that they just were given a couple months ago for winning their third championship in 4 years. And that has over 500 black and white diamonds in it and has a ring inside of it that comes out so they can wear a smaller version of the ring, the ladies can, or a big version of the ring.
See,
so they're getting much more creative. And so it's and you can see that there. We have the ring displayed closed, but you can watch the video of it coming apart. And Tom's seventh ring, the one I mentioned that he won with Tampa, not the one with New England, it unscrews and inside is a replica of Raymond James Stadium because they were the first team to ever win the Super Bowl at their home stadium in Tampa. So it has the pirate ship, it has the scoreboard, it has the logo at midfield, it has seats, it has everything. It's incredible.
I mean, the teams that design these must be pretty interesting.
Incredible.
Right? A lot of symbolism.
Incredible. You mentioned, Howard, about some of the partnerships that you guys have.
Yes.
So a while back when the Golden Knights were in the playoffs, they had another good run this year. Good for them. resulted in a new coach, but that's the way it goes. But they did have a really good run. And during that Stanley Cup tournament, you had a big artifact that was delivered to the Hall of Excellence, the number one most famous trophy
in the world.
That's right. Tell us about the Stanley Cup being there on property.
So the Stanley Cup came by. We had it for an afternoon on June the 8th, which was great. The NHL was wonderful enough to let us display it for our visitors, and they can come in and take pictures with it. And they couldn't kiss it. They couldn't touch it. But they pretended. We had a lot of people, you know, puckering up and getting close like that. And so because that trophy, more than any other trophy, just it's like a magnet. It just pulls people towards it. And it's hard to explain, but having broadcast NHL games for years, it's something I've never seen before, but it happens every time. And even though I've been around the Stanley Cup and I've had pictures with the Stanley Cup before, it's still special every time you're near it. And
which
so that
for
was,
most people is very rare.
Right, correct. And that was it. You know, there was 2 days off between game four and game five, or is it game five and game six? I forget. Forgive me. But the league was kind enough to say, hey, we have some time and you can display it for a few hours. And it was great. And the best part about it is a lot of people came for the cup, but while they were in there, they got to see everything else. And now they can tell their friends and they can experience the museum because some of them didn't know about it, right? And so now that they did. And some were Carolina fans that were in town for the game, and some were just NHL fans that were here for the game, but some were locals. And so now they know, you know, what we have in there and can either come back or tell their neighbors and their friends, because it is a very special place. And I should mention, we also have about 25 entertainment artifacts as well. So even if you're not a huge sports fan, you know, we have items from Elvis and the Beatles, and we have something for The Wizard of Oz, which obviously is a phenomenon over at the Sphere. And so we have some of those items as well, and trying to get some other artifacts in as well that will fit excellence, right? We have an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony in the trophy room as well, just to see that. And you don't have to go to John Legend's house or Jennifer Hudson's house to see all four
of
them.
Saves you a trip, yeah, yeah.
Right, and so we do have, you know, we're trying, because excellence in all fields should be celebrated, and the genesis of this museum was a way to inspire the youth of Las Vegas and everywhere else that come in to greatness, because all those athletes that are in there, not just Tom, but certainly Tom and anybody else, they all have a lot of the same traits. You know, how did they become excellent in their craft? And that doesn't mean you have to be an athlete. We honored the Summerlin South Little League team that won the Little League World Series last year. We have their banner hanging up in the museum. And we brought them in and we honored them. We gave medals, Hall of Excellence medals. And Reggie Jackson came to speak with them. Tom Brady did a video. He couldn't be there that day. But he told them, look, be excellent in whatever you do. You know, it doesn't have to be sports. Be an excellent dentist or an accountant or whatever it is. But it's hard work and it's persistence and it's all those things that, you know, it's passion for what you're doing that is the common theme throughout the museum. And you feel it when you walk in. It's palpable. It really is.
It makes so much sense, too, here in Las Vegas that you would combine sports and entertainment, because we are, of course, you know, formerly we were the entertainment capital of the world.
Slowly becoming sports.
I mean, I don't know. You've been around a lot. Do you think we're earning that title at this point?
So, sure. I mean, the Golden Knights, when they first came as the first team here, professional team, obviously get off to a great start. And now everybody wants to be here for a reason. The NBA is coming. The A's are coming next year. And so it is now, and the Summer League here, right, obviously in the backdrop as we're doing the show, it is a destination not just for entertainment anymore, not just for anything else. It is a destination for sports, and it's wonderful.
I want to ask you about the business aspect of it. So for people that are listening and watching around the country, hey, next time you go to Vegas, check out the Hall of Excellence at Fontainebleau. For people that live here in Vegas, there's always a lot of talk about locals and parking and discounts and things like that. Do you guys have a program for people that live here to come check out the Hall of Excellence?
Absolutely. So it's $35 general admission normally, and that includes the audio and the video tour. But if you're a local resident, it's $30. If you're children under 16, or $20. And it is free parking at the hotel for locals as well.
Wow.
And so, yes, we want all the local Las Vegas people to come in because, again, I'd say there's nothing like it in Las Vegas, but the truth of the matter is there really is nothing like the Hall of Excellence anywhere, because nowhere else has all these different sports, all these special items. You know, all the way back, our oldest artifact is 100 years old, or just shy of 100 years old. And, you know, we have items that are as recent as this past season for sports. And we're constantly, you know, adding more items. I literally this morning before I came here, just put three Bulls championship rings from the 90s in one of the cases.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you come starting, you know, anytime after
Chicago
you see this,
roots.
you can come see the three. It's from their fourth, fifth, and sixth championships. So, and we're constantly trying to add more items to it as well. So
it's just, it's a great opportunity for locals. I think right now, with the weather as hot as it is too, what a great activity.
Air conditioned. It's air conditioned.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, you might even want a light jacket because it's a little cool in there. We have to keep the artifacts at a certain temperature and humidity to preserve them. Sure.
Oh, yes, yeah. It would be
especially,
like any museum.
Especially the older artifacts, anything that's, you know, an older jersey or anything like that, but has to be protected or trophies will tarnish, you know. Sneakers will disintegrate, any of those things. Lights have to be at a certain, you know, lux or foot candles so that they don't, you know, have a signature fade because there's too much light on it. That's like any other museum. You're right, but it's...
Speaking of excellence, I love to hear about the details of a museum like this, about temperature and lighting temperature, and it's very fascinating. You gave us the breakdown of the customization of the rings and also the evolution of the Super Bowl ring over the years. How about the jerseys? Because I know, like, when you think of, maybe I don't know if it was linen or cotton, but the big uniforms that used to be
flannel back in the day.
Flannel.
In the middle of the summertime, yes, flannel.
For baseball.
Yes, in the old days, yes. And then they went to polyester in the 70s. The Astros used to have these colorful uniforms, and they were terrible also.
Can you imagine polyester?
So,
I can't.
That would be hard.
And so it just depends. But jerseys are the ones that will disintegrate more than other artifacts. But even like old leather gloves, will start to crack. Tennis rackets, the strings will start to snap, things like that. It happens. It's one of those things. And I should point out, by the way, so the museum, all these artifacts, these are not just, we have an autographed baseball or an autographed football. These are game-used or game-worn items. These are authentic. This is not, you know, you went to a card show and you could get an autograph for somebody like anybody else can get. No, these are the real thing. They were in action. And so we have... You know, we have a jersey that Shohei Ohtani hit a very significant home run when last year. We have something from the World Series last year of his. And so we have Simone Biles' leotard from when she won a gold medal. So all these items are the real thing. And the only place you can see them is at the Hall of Excellence.
And speaking of that, we're talking with Howard Dinneroff on Vegas Business Report. And before we let you go, Howard, tell us quickly about the hours. You mentioned a discount for locals, which, yay, love that.
And free parking.
And free parking.
And free parking. Like
love both of those things. Tell us about the hours it's open for people that want to check it out.
So we're open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., 5 days a week. We're closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so open Thursday through Monday. Most people, when they come to the museum, take about an hour to walk through it, but... You know, if you wanted to listen to the stories for every artifact that's in there, you'd be there 5 hours and 51 minutes. We haven't had that happen yet. The record so far is about 3 hours and 20 minutes for an 11-year-old boy who would have stayed longer, but his mother said, enough's enough, let's go. And so, but most people take about an hour, but it's self-guided. You can go as fast or as slow as you like. And, you know, like I said, you scan on any item that interests you, up pops the story. That item doesn't interest you, skip to the next one. There's enough there. Like I said,
very, Jeff, very modern.
It sounds like a challenge to us.
Yes.
Can you do a little over five hours?
And 51
minutes?
Yeah, I could
minutes?
Do it. Yeah, I could do it on
I'll
Thursday.
Stay open. If anyone wants to go 5 hours and 51 minutes, I will stay open past 8 o'clock for you and give you a personal self-guided tour.
Amazing. You heard it. You heard it from Howard. Thank you so much.
Which is what
for
I would have
us.
Done when I was 11 years old.
That's
or
right.
Like
right.
That would have been, that's to me, you know, even though I've been around sports my whole life, I'm still, like when I had those rings on my hand today, just to put them in the case, not to, you know, I didn't take a selfie with them. I'm not posting it on social media. But it's still incredibly cool, even for somebody who's been around that and is so immersed in it.
It's meaningful, like you said.
It's just right. It's just, you remember the moments. It flashes you back to whatever that moment was. Just like a smell can, just like a song can, just like an outfit can or anything like that. And so... We're thrilled to be at the Fountain Blue Hotel. It's a great experience for everybody, and come on down and visit us, please.
Well, Howard, thank you so much for joining us here on set at Vegas Business Report. Hall of Excellence at the Fountain Blue is an amazing thing if you're a sports fan or an entertainment fan to check that out every day except for Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and there is a locals discount, so hooray for that. So a lot to see there. I've checked it out, by the way, so I encourage you to do
it. I'm going to go back because I want to update.
You should, absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
We got a timeout coming up. When we get back on the other side, Kim Spurgeon will be here from Film Nevada. Is Hollywood coming to Nevada? We're going to find out about that as we continue on this edition of the Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
And we are back on this edition of Vegas Business Report. Jeff Nathanson with J.J. Snyder. This portion of the show is being brought to you by Reliable Environmental Services, precision, speed, and accountability. Call 702-418-9247 for a free estimate for your business.
And if you ever miss a portion of our show or you'd like to go back and listen again, well, guess what? You can do so on the Odyssey app. It's that orange app in the App Store. You also can connect with us on our website at vegasbusinessreport.com. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. We're just about everywhere. And we're happy to be here today at NBA Summer League. Broadcasting from the Thomas & Mack, what a treat.
And what a great conversation with Howard Dinneroff from the Hall of Excellence at the Fontainebleau. Tom Brady's 7 Super Bowl rings on display there, along with a lot of other stuff. And I know there's like all kinds of sports artifacts for everybody, every sport. And it's a nice crossover of all the sports, not just the Baseball Hall of Fame or just the Pro Football Hall of Fame or any of those things. It's all of them. So, and the locals discount is big news.
I mean, like he shared with us, it's just, it's done so well. It is literally a celebration of the most excellent athletes and the most excellent sports moments throughout history. So definitely, if you're coming to Las Vegas, check that out. If you're here in Vegas, like Jeff said, free parking, enough said.
Yeah, that's big. That's a very big deal. We move on this edition of the Vegas Business Report, and so excited to welcome our next guest to the set here. Kim Spurgeon is the Executive Director of Film Nevada, which is under the Governor's Office of Economic Development, so a big deal. Kim, thank you so much for being here and joining us here at the Thomas & Mack.
Thank you so much for having me, and what an exciting venue to do this show from this week. Vegas just really is a great place to have this type of entertainment, and I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here. So much going on, JJ, with video and television and filming in Las Vegas, and Kim's going to hopefully share some stuff with us about that whole process, which I find fascinating.
Absolutely, and I'd love to dive in. Let's talk about Las Vegas and Nevada in general as a destination for creating content, making movies, making TV shows. What do we have to offer?
You know, especially here in Southern Nevada in Las Vegas itself becomes a character in these stories that we tell and see on screen. If you think about all of the iconic movies and TV shows that have filmed here over the years, Casino, The Godfather, Hangover, Jason Bourne, there are so many different stories where the location becomes part of that, such an integral part of it. And we're really lucky to benefit from those stories that are told here. And it's not just here in Las Vegas, but also throughout the state. If you think about the Lake Tahoe region in northern Nevada, or we had a Robert Redford executive produced film at the Carson City State Penitentiary.
Wow.
A real story where inmates rehabilitate wild Mustangs. It's called The Mustang, came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So Nevada as a state is rich in storytelling.
And there's so much going on here. And so for people that watch those shows that you're talking about, and you talked about Lucky on Apple TV,
yes.
We'll get to that a little bit later. You mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. That was something that was shot in Las Vegas too. But what does Film Nevada do for people that aren't necessarily in the business? How does Film Nevada as an office work to encourage filmmakers to come here to find those iconic locations? How does the office operate?
Excellent question. So Film Nevada is the state's film commission. Most states have some kind of office that acts as the facilitator or as a resource for this industry to come to this state. So we operate under the Governor's Office of Economic Development with the idea that these productions come to our area, they hire local crew members, creating jobs, they spend money with local businesses, increasing revenue throughout our state. That's why it's under economic development. And what our office does is we're a free resource. We market the state to the industry to say, here's a film-friendly place where you can come. Please come here and spend your money. That's what we want. Tell your stories here because that also contributes to film tourism down the line, where when you see that final product on screen and you say, oh, you know, Zach Galifianakis is asking, did Caesar really live here? And the amount of times that still happens over 10 years later at the Caesar's front desk. Yeah, so we act as a resource to market, and then we also administer the state's film tax incentive program. You know, many states throughout the U.S. and the world
to encourage the producers to film there, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, and we maintain a database of crew and services on our website of what they need locally when they come here to hire different crew members, rent different equipment, caterers, that kind of thing. And we also maintain a database of film-friendly locations. So if there are any listeners out there that own a business or piece of property that would be open to filming, please let us know.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm an expat from Los Angeles, so I was around Hollywood for a good 20 years. And it's so interesting to come here and see that, you know, we're kind of like a little, almost like a sibling of Hollywood. You know, we have such a connection, even with all the entertainers in town.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them fly back and forth, or the musicians fly back and forth. You know, it is getting harder and harder to film in California. We know that. I don't really understand the reasons why. What is it that we make so appealing? Is it literally it's easier to get permits here, and the tax credit is better.
She has permits in her purse. So if you need a permit like today, right, you can just open the bag. But I think that's a great point,
JJ.
Just
got to know Kim.
Yeah, you got to know Kim. What is that like?
One of my favorite things to advertise, particularly to the LA market, is that in the city of Las Vegas, film permits are free. They charge $0 to file a film permit with their jurisdiction. In Clark County, it's $45. In LA, it's hundreds, upwards of $900 just for the permit, not even the location fees. So we actually ran an ad campaign recently that said, hey, in the city of Las Vegas, film permits are free. And in that market especially, that's a very attractive thing, because we cut through a lot of that red tape. And that's what you alluded to in terms of the LA market right now, is it's very difficult. They're so, you know, jaded by the industry, and it's lost its sparkle, I think, where mm-hmm. people are more just annoyed with it than excited by it. But Nevada has always had a more business-friendly tax environment, as well as regulation environment, where we try to work with businesses and make it easy for them to come spend money here, and that's good economic development.
So if you're looking to shoot a film, all you upcoming filmmakers mm-hmm. and all you big studios like Apple TV, come to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it is that simple. And let's talk about that. So we were talking a couple of weeks ago on the show about this new show on Apple TV called Lucky. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it, but you brought it up in your JJ's Entertainment Report a couple of weeks ago. That's an example from today, real time. This is not, I mean, Casino was big. We remember that. But Lucky was just shot here, I guess, in the last 6 months. Can mm-hmm. you tell us anything about that?
Yes, it airs on Apple TV, releases today, the first episode. And that first episode is very Vegas-centric. They filmed at Caesar's Palace. There's a big storyline that kind of kicks off the series where, again, Las Vegas is kind of that character in the story. And we get to see a lot of our iconic locations on screen. It stars Anya Taylor-Joy as Lucky.
Who is just amazing.
Yes.
She's good.
Oh, yeah. Wow. She
great
a talent.
Great chess player, too.
Yes.
I mean, from what I've seen.
I believed it.
Yeah, so that's a great example of a production that filmed here for the location, where we were able to capture, you know, all of those jobs created from our locals being hired, all of the money spent not only at Caesar's Palace but throughout the valley, and now we'll get the, you know, the long tail of it in terms of the tourism, of, you know, people seeing that on screen and wanting to recreate or be in that same space that Lucky was and filmed. And that's just one example of productions that have filmed here recently.
And it's fun to watch something and see, like, oh, I know that. I know, see, that's where I go. That's where I park, right?
Oh, it totally is. And, you know, Jeff, I was thinking it's so interesting, the economic benefit to Las Vegas. And it made me think of our conversation recently about the conventions that are held here every year. We talked about a few productions. In general, about how many productions come to film in Nevada, like last year?
Per year, I'd say we average between 300 and 400 productions. That covers a litany of things, though. It's not just the ones you've heard of, the big feature films or TV series, but it's also all of the commercials and music videos and even corporate and convention work, things like that. Still photography shoots are included in our metrics, but we usually see around 300 or 400 throughout the state, with most of those happening here in Las Vegas.
Amazing. Wow. When we come back, we're talking with Kim Spurgeon right now from the Nevada Film Office, and this is a fascinating conversation because we see it around when I was in L.A. You see trucks in the street and people filming all the time. And Nevada, 300 or 400, that is shocking. That is great, great news. And I want to talk more about that in a minute, about some of those productions. You mentioned Lucky, which I can't wait to watch now because I want to see what I see when I see that. But when we come back, we'll talk more with Kim. Unbelievable edition of the Vegas Business Report is underway right now. You're watching it happen right now. We are at the Thomas & Mack Center here at the site of the NBA Summer League. And
I mean,
more to come.
One of the biggest, most exciting events in Las Vegas this
Speaking
summer.
Of events, right?
Yep.
This is as big as it gets if you love basketball. So break time. We'll be right back on this edition of the Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
And welcome back to this edition of the Vegas Business Report. We are on location at the Thomas & Mack Center at UNLV. And special thanks to the entire team at Hall Pass Media and the NBA Summer League for this amazing location. We've got monitors, we've got professional lights, we've got microphones, and a real thanks to all the folks at Hall Pass for helping us put on this show for everybody. You can check it out, of course, on the website at VegasBusinessReport.com. We put all the shows up. You can listen to it. You can fast forward past me and get to JJ if you want or whatever you want to do. But that's all available online. We are talking
Jeff.
You're welcome. With Kim Spurgeon from the Nevada Film Office. And Kim, thank you so much for trekking here to visit with us today. Fascinating interview. So many people have followed the news about productions in Vegas in particular, in this community, of course, and they talked about having a studio and all these different things. But you mentioned last segment, Kim, that there's a lot of productions that are filming here or have filmed here currently. Can we talk about some of those, JJ, that maybe some of your favorites?
Yeah, I'm really fascinated. So, Kim, you and I have connected over Lucky on Apple TV, starring Anya Taylor-Joy. That was just an incredible series. They really chose Caesar's Palace. I got a chance to interview two of the producers. Of course, Reese Witherspoon is behind that production. It was just a lot of powerhouse women involved in creating that project. So it's very adrenaline-filled. If you haven't watched it, tune in. You have to be able to handle
I can.
Like a high-octane situation.
I can.
Are
I
you
can
in,
put it
Jeff?
On my list right here.
Okay.
Shows to watch.
But there are other just such exciting projects, some very award-winning series that have been filmed here as well. You mentioned one right before the break. Can we talk about Hacks?
Please. I love that show. I was a fan of the show before it, you know, kind of filmed here this last season and applied for the film tax incentive program. So through that program, that show actually filmed more here than what they had intended, because it does film partially in LA on a stage, because we don't have those here. But on location, they did more here than what they expected, because the tax incentive allowed them to spend more money, hire more crew members, that kind of thing. And Hacks, what's exciting right now is the Emmy nominations came out last week. And Hacks Season 5 is now the Emmy Comedy Division leader in terms of number of nominations per show at 24. It actually breaks the record that the studio set last year with 23 nominations, also filmed in Las Vegas their last two episodes. So it is really exciting to see these quality stories being told in our region and have them be celebrated throughout the industry. And not only that, but the producers on Hacks they've given us such great feedback, as well as the writers, the show creators. They have spoken at length about how much they love Las Vegas. And to have that kind of reputation within the industry will only get a snowball effect, where people are thinking about Las Vegas, saying how easy it is to film here, and we should be seeing more of that work.
But where does Nevada go from where we are today, Kim, to the future? Is it possible to get more productions here? Are those efforts underway? What feedback and response do you get from the people that have filmed here? Where do we stand right now?
You know, of course I would love to see more production film here. This is an industry that I'm personally passionate about. I love to be a part of it. I do think that we can capture more of the greater market share than we currently are now. As, you know, the entertainment capital of the world, we don't really see as much production as you might think. Compared to other areas. And part of that is driven by, our current infrastructure. We don't have large studio spaces like they do in LA, like they do in Georgia, or even New Mexico.
Well, there's a proposal for one, but I don't think it got approved.
It failed by one vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So close. But maybe they'll make another go at that.
What
we have
do you
the
think?
Hotel rooms and all that stuff too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an industry that makes natural sense here. So in terms of economic development, you want you to diversify. You don't want an entirely new industry. You want related industries. And that's why this industry makes sense here, is because we have the live shows on the Strip. You have all of those crew members already working in that area with those transferable skills to the stage or a studio set. And so it just makes a natural sense for it to be here. We're so close to LA. It's something where, you know, your talent who lives in LA can come here, go home on the weekends, still see their families. It's
totally.
it's a big attraction to film here. And that's why they proposed the studios to be built here. But it ultimately did not pass. We'll see what happens next legislative session if a similar bill or a new bill is introduced again.
And is your office passionate about that bill?
We are. Yeah. We are. We are passionate about good public policy, though. So we also had, I think part of the reason it failed is because of the great expense that was attached to it. So it's about creating a policy where the studios benefit as well as the state. We need to be able to capture that economic benefit to make it work for us. And, you know, as long as the good policy is there, absolutely.
Terrific. Well, we'll look forward to that. And Kim, thank you so much for stopping by and visiting with us on Vegas Business Report. You guys do such great work to get all these productions into Vegas. It creates revenue, jobs, it fills hotel rooms, and it's fun. It's fun to see things in Vegas in particular.
It's been great to get an update on the film industry here in town.
Absolutely.
Don't you feel like it? In the state.
100%.
I feel like I know what's going on, Jeff.
Yes, for sure. So, Kim,
thank you
very much.
Thank you
really
so much for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
And we're out of time, JJ. That's
going to
do it.
That flew by.
Yeah, thanks so much to our guest, Kim Spurgeon from Film Nevada, Howard Deneroff from the Hall of Excellence at the Fountain Blue Hotel. We're out of time for today. Back next week with a brand new show. The executive producer of Vegas Business Report is Ben McKee. Today's show produced by Allison Polkenhorn.
Allison.
And mixed by Trent Ogle.
Trent.
And special thanks to JJ.
Snyder.
That's right.
And Jeff Nathanson as well.
And a special thanks to Albert Hall, Jackson Weber, Kyle Conway, and Ashton Kurchan from Hall Pass Media and the NBA Summer League for their hospitality. Great to take the show on the road. JJ, next Saturday, we will be back with another brand new episode of Vegas Business Report at 11 a.m.
And we have a rocking guest, so make sure you join us. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Today's show was produced by Monarch CX. To visit the official show website, go to VegasBusinessReport.com.